You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The waiting list for public housing continues to grow as close to 14,500 households live in motels, on the street, or are close to losing their homes. The government's original target of 6,400 state homes is simply not enough to meet the growing demand. Auckland Action Against Poverty has called on the government to triple its state housing targets to match. I spoke with AAAP coordinator Ricardo Menendez-March.
So the housing waiting list has reached almost 14,500 households, and my understanding is that there are about 6,000 on the waiting list when the government was first elected. So how has it shot up that quickly?
Well, there's two factors at play here. The government mildly expanded the eligibility criteria for those that can qualify for public housing. But the reality is that even after the criteria has been expanded, it has also shot up quite quickly, and most of the people that are needing public housing and are on the waiting list are people who have urgent needs, so people who are living in motels, who are sleeping at rough, or who are very much at risk of being homeless. So this is very much a product of the housing crisis, lack of investment in state housing and high rents.
Has the government increased their target of new homes to match the demand?
So the government set out a target of 6,400 state homes in a four-year period when it first got elected. And I mean, this is less than half now of the number of households that are waiting for public housing. And so it's an inadequate target. It kind of accepts that people will be left homeless or at risk of becoming homeless in the medium term. And we're really calling on the government to put in the resources and money to change this target to reflect the need out there in the street.
It was reported that the government housed 567 households in November, but that there were 1,649 new applicants to replace them. So you're saying that the government needs to build at least three times as many state homes?
Yeah, I mean, we know just from the official figures that the demand for public housing is growing at a much faster rate than the government is building public housing. Which is why the targets need to increase. And why public housing is so important is that it's one of the few ways that we can guarantee that nobody's spending 25% to 30% of their income, right? And so this is why we are very dead set on getting the government to build more public housing. But also just the fact that, you know, the figures themselves show that there's simply not enough public houses being built when you've got three times as many people needing them, that, you know, homes are being built in a period of a few months.
Yeah, so the last census showed that there were well over 100,000 empty houses in New Zealand, and many of those are in big population centres like Auckland. So how do those factor in?
Yeah, so we know that there's also over 1,000 empty state homes in Auckland, and so this is an issue. I think when it comes to private homes that are being land banked and empty, I think what we've got to do is look at introducing things like wealth taxes and also ghost home taxes to basically disincentivize property investors from just acquiring properties, leaving them empty and then selling them a few months later for a profit. But at the end of the day, this is still working within the private market, which has shown to fail to house those that are most vulnerable. And so what we need is not just building, you know, far more public houses. We do need other levers such as taxes on property investors who are land banking, as well as introducing caps on how much rents can go up by. So this is an issue that needs to be fixed by multiple government levers, but we do see increasing the number of state homes as a key factor in the solution.
Is it possible or even realistic for the government to buy existing private housing to make public rather than building new houses from scratch?
Well, it's absolutely possible, and it's currently being done actually as part of the acquisition of new social housing. And the only problem with this is that it can be quite an expensive thing for the government to do. And the government does have land that is currently redeveloping, but the problem is that the redevelopments that are happening are basically privatizing land, and most of the redevelopments are two-thirds private housing, one-third public housing, when it should be 100% public housing if it's being done on government-owned land, which, it's really disappointing that most of the developments is basically privatization. But the one problem with acquiring private housing for people on the waiting list is that a lot of the homes are not fully accessible. We know a lot of people on the waiting list have disabilities. And so what we need to do as well is to ensure that money is being put in to retrofit the homes for people with disabilities, and also that all new builds are fully accessible for those with disabilities as well.
So tell me a little bit more about the motels. How many households are living in motels right now?
So we know that there's been a massive increase in the people living in motels. I mean, the exact figure on top of my head, it's, I mean, just from the people that we work with, it would be just under 10,000 families that are requiring. There's a difference between the number of families versus the number of grants, because obviously the grants for emergency housing are far more. But we know that the cost for a motel room for a week, an average in Auckland, it's about 1,500 per week, which is massive and far more costly for the government than, you know, ensuring that we build permanent state housing in the longer term. And there is no regulations on how much motels can charge. They don't provide suitable conditions. And compared to the year before, we're spending three times as much money into the hands of moteliers as opposed to building, you know, putting in more money into the build of state housing, which is a permanent solution as opposed to the motels.
So you said almost 10,000. Is that just people that you've been working with?
That would be from people that we work with, and some of the people that that we see on families and figures that we see from Official Information Act figures. The full figure will be on the MSD website. I can't bring it up on top of it.
That's all right.
So the number, yeah, it would be on the one of the links of the media release. But what we do know at the end of the day is that the cost of maintaining these motels is very much growing exponentially, and again, from the figures that we've got in the quarter of 2018, you know, the July-September, we spent $15 million into motels, and this year, just the 2019, we spent three times as much. And most of this is not just because there's more people needing them, it's because the moteliers themselves are also charging more money for the same room and the same conditions because they can. And there's nothing stopping them. It's an incredibly profitable industry that is basically profiting off our housing crisis.
So the motels have been increasing the prices as well?
Yeah, so from Official Information Act figures, we do know that in Auckland, for example, there's been almost a 50% increase in the grant costs for an emergency housing unit. So this would be the same motel basically charging almost 50% more to host the family, because they can, because there's no regulations in government to basically cap the amount a motel can charge for a homeless family. And this is incredibly concerning, because at the end of the day, these motels are not really providing a social good. It's a business, and the government is basically privatizing a social good that they should be investing on, so that we have permanent solutions as opposed to a lot of money going into the hands of moteliers.
What sort of conditions are the families in these motels experiencing?
Well, just last year, there was an audit into the motels that the government was using, because some of the motels were found to not even comply with basic council rules around health and safety. There's been reports that some of the conditions include unsanitary, you know, vermin, also just because of the way that the emergency housing units are built, there's not a lot of social cohesion, you know, a lot of cramped spaces, there's violence, and the emergency housing units are just not equipped to handle the needs of those that have been chronically homeless. And so it's just simply unsafe for families. And again, unsanitary on the most part. And it seems like a lot of the money that is going into the moteliers is not being used to make sure the units are fit for purpose for homeless people.
So another thing that you mentioned is this idea of homes paying a disproportionate amount of rent compared to their income, and we're seeing this with raising rent prices as well, and also, just as you mentioned, motels are even raising prices as well. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on income-related rent and what that means.
Yeah, so right now we know that people on the benefit are spending a huge proportion of their income on rents. They're the group that is most affected by rising rents, and some of the families we work with are spending, you know, 60 to 70% of their weekly income on rent. the sort of gold measure of affordability in terms of weekly rent should be between 25 and 30%. And this is where income-related rents are great, because when you live in public housing, you only pay a fixed 25 to 30% of your income on your rent. And what that ensures is that whether you're on a, you know, on a benefit, minimum wage job, or, you know, you're earning a little bit more of the living wage, that you never spend more of that on your rent. And so it's a way to guarantee that everybody, no matter how much they earn, has a roof over their head, and that they're contributing their fair share into maintaining the public housing stock. But compared to the private market, where people are spending 60% of their income sometimes on rent, it's a much safer opportunity, and why we're strong advocates of public housing, because the private market simply does not guarantee that people will be spending a fair amount on rent each week. This is why we have so many families needing food grants, because once they pay their rent, they have very little to cover bills, transport, and other basic expenses.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, with rent prices being just completely controlled privately and motel prices being raised and stuff, it sounds like the only way to ensure a consistent and fair cost of living is state housing.
Look, public housing is absolutely one of the only ways to ensure that we stop the housing crisis. And I think there are many examples overseas, particularly in Europe, where there's countries that have a much stronger public housing system. They do not experience the severity of the housing crisis that we have. And there are laws and policies in place to protect public housing tenants and ensure that public housing stock is modern and energy efficient. Austria is a really good example of that. And so I don't see why New Zealand needs to be lagging behind when we have the resources and we're supposed to have a progressive government when it comes to ensuring that everybody has a roof over their head. It's not an impossible thing to achieve.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.